Good morning, Covenant Church. I found that one of the benefits of being in isolation during the pandemic is that I have been challenged to learn a whole whack of new things. And today I can add to them, I've had to learn iMovie in order to be able to preach to the masses at Covenant through my computer as I sit home alone here in my sunroom on the 14th concession of Tiny. So let's see how this goes. I hope that this does find you all safe and well. It has been a hard week on the Canadian landscape with not only the pandemic that we're dealing with, but also the horrifying mass shooting in Nova Scotia. Many people are questioning. In this time of uncertainty and confusion, let's try to remember that God still is Lord over all. He still holds our present and our future in his hands, and he still calls us to partner with him in extending his kingdom here on earth. I can recall another time of incredulousness at what was going on in the world. It was in early September of 2001. It was a Tuesday morning, and I was preparing for a Sunday school orientation session that I was beginning to launch the new ministry year here at Covenant. I was the children's ministry coordinator at the time. And I was home alone, and it was around 10 a.m. that the phone rang. And on the phone was my friend Lori Bell. She was Pastor Brian's wife. And she said to me, "Elise, turn on your TV. Something horrible has happened. Some planes have flown into the World Trade Center. It looks to be a terrorist attack. It's just horrifying." Throughout the day, as what had happened started to register, and I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of different people, and there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of confusion, a lot of disquiet, and I remember thinking, this is the end of the world as we know it. What's going to happen? So then I had a decision to make. Do I go ahead with the Sunday school orientation planned for that evening? Are people really going to be able to focus on Sunday school curriculum with everything else that is going on in the world? Are people going to want to come out? Well, I had lined up a representative from the curriculum developer, Group Publishing. She had been set to come and do a presentation for us at this orientation. So I called her up and I said, "What do you think? Like, should we go ahead?" And she says, "For sure, I'm coming." What better place to be than amongst God's people at a time like this? Where else are we going to get so much encouragement? And you know what? She was right. There were about 20 of us, I would say, that came out that evening. And it was really good to be together. Don't ask me what the presentation was about that evening, but the one thing that has stuck with me through the years that most impacted me was a little song that she taught us. It was going to be part of the curriculum. And it was such an encouragement, and it has been playing in my head throughout these past weeks. I managed to find the song on YouTube, and we're going to try to play it for you right now. So that little song was a message that we needed to hear. It was a message that we needed to express with our mouths as well. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's from Joshua 1:9. The pandemic that we are living through right now is not unlike 9/11 in terms of the uncertainty and the fear and the sense of powerlessness that we are living with. And the message of that little song, that encouraging word from God, is a pertinent and valuable reminder for us today about how to face these challenging times. So I'd like to propose that we read the passage from Joshua and we spend a little bit of time exploring the message that's contained in there. So if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua, it's the sixth book in the Bible, right near the beginning, right after Deuteronomy. And we're going to read the first nine verses of chapter one of Joshua. Okay. Here's what it says. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So let's take a closer look at what is going on here. God had promised the Israelite people that he had set aside for them a promised land all of their own. This was the land of Canaan. And they had been waiting to move into this territory for a long time. It had been some 40 years of waiting and of wandering. Now, up until this point, Moses had been their leader. Moses had very dramatically and powerfully moved them out of slavery in Egypt. He had journeyed with them through the desert, and he had brought them right up to the borders of the Promised Land, and that's where he died. But not before commissioning Joshua to be his successor. Now, Joshua was brand new in this leadership role. And this mission of leading Israel, about 2 million people strong, into the Promised Land, which was new, uncharted territory, this would have posed a significant challenge for him. I think back to when I took over as a lead pastor at Covenant back in 2018, taking over from Paul Kiss. Those were some pretty big shoes to fill. Paul had led the church to a certain point and then gone off to another mission. And there I was taking over, and it was overwhelming. It was intimidating. Sure, there was fear, there was trepidation. And I can only imagine that Joshua must have been feeling much of that same kind of trepidation as he faced the mission before him. And the Israelites as well must have been wondering about Joshua's ability to lead them. So God gives Joshua a kind of pep talk, if you will. from verse 2 here in Joshua 1. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now the job is up to you. It's your job to carry on my work. But don't worry. You won't be alone. Get ready. I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand against you. I will be with you. You can do this. God assures Joshua of his presence. He assures him that he can be trusted. I promised Moses that I would bring Israel here, and look. Look, I've done it. You've witnessed it. You've seen how I was with Moses. And now, believe it. That's how I'm going to be with you. I promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so, based on these promises, God gives Joshua 3 instructions. Number 1 is in verse 6. It's an instruction about Joshua's demeanor. Be strong and courageous, he says. Be steadfast, stand firm, be determined, be resolute, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give you. God doesn't say it's going to be easy or without challenges. He just says, set your face to the task and go for it. Go for it boldly. Go for it confidently. And he repeats this instruction in verse 7. And repetition generally means that pay close attention to this. This is an important instruction. Be strong and very courageous. And then he moves on in verse 7 to the second instruction and says, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Now, the word successful here might be more aptly translated as wise or prudent. If you stick closely to following my law, and Joshua would have had the 5 books of the Bible, that's all he would have had is the law. If you follow what I have told you to do in these books, don't deviate from what I've said, you will gain wisdom. You will gain insight into how to proceed. Joshua's success or wisdom is contingent on his doing what God says in his word. Now, the third instruction comes in verse 8, where he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. This instruction is similar to the second one. It's about keeping the law. Keep the law. Live the way I've told you to live and to act. Let my word be your guide, your compass, as you carry out the mission that I've entrusted to you and as you face the upcoming challenges. And then verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? And then for the third time, he repeats the first instruction. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified. And he repeats his powerful promise, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. How's that for a pep talk? I love it. Now, just as the Israelites waited and wandered for all those years, we are kind of in a waiting, holding pattern right now, aren't we? We're not entirely sure when we're going to emerge from this time of isolation. And we don't really know what we'll be facing once we cross over into the post-pandemic world. Like the Israelites, we are facing new, uncharted territory. And perhaps we are afraid or discouraged or unsettled. Like Joshua, we need to be reminded of this promise from God that he will be with us no matter what as we commit to following his word. And like Joshua, We need to be reminded of the importance of keeping God's word close and fresh in our minds and in our hearts. How will we know what it says unless we read it and listen to it and talk about it? We need to be reminded that acting and doing and living in ways that align with God's word is the surest way of making wise decisions and having clearer vision and more peace and moving ahead with confidence. I don't know exactly what you're going through right now. Maybe you've been laid off from your job and you don't know what your financial future is going to look like. Maybe you are ill and in need of health care that you are having a hard time accessing. Maybe you're worried about a family member in a long-term care facility. Maybe you're a frontline worker and you worry about contracting the illness every time you go out to work. Maybe you haven't had a true face-to-face conversation with somebody in a really long time, and you're feeling lonely. Or maybe you are loving this time of isolation and are not really anxious for the time of social distancing to end. And none of us knows what lasting changes this virus will have on our world. But nevertheless, I think that there are some lessons for us here, just as there were for Joshua and the Israelites. We may not be Israelites headed to Canaan, but we are God's people. We're God's people based on our faith in Jesus Christ, citizens of God's kingdom right now. And we are people who are looking forward to God's kingdom being fully realized in the future. We too are pressing ahead. And the promise that God made to Joshua is for us. And the call to live by God's word is for us too. In fact, Jesus gave us the same message in Matthew 28. And I will read that for you right now. Matthew 28, the very last part of Matthew. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Do you see how that mirrors what God said to Joshua so many thousands of years earlier? It's a call to stay true to living according to God's word, along with the promise that he will be with us as we do it. Now, how does that relate to what we're experiencing right now? Well, here's one suggestion. We know that Jesus said that the great commandment, the most important commandment in all the Bible, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second one is like it, and a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So our mission, our task is to follow this commandment. Our mission is to love our neighbors. Restricted as we are, isolated as we are, powerless as we may feel. And Jesus has promised that as we live out this mission of loving our neighbors, he will be with us. God is with us whenever any one of us expresses our faith in Christ and participates in his work by loving our neighbors as ourselves. And, you know, there are lots of ways that we can do that. We can pray for people. We can write encouraging notes. We can pick up groceries for someone when we're at the store. We can leave a gift card for the postal carrier, for the person who delivers the newspaper. We can support local businesses. We can call and check in on people who live alone. We can donate to the food bank. I'm sure that you can add to that list many times over. I would love to hear some of the ways that you are managing to live out this command. If you're part of the Zoom meeting this morning, you'll notice that there's a chat button at the bottom where you can add your comments. So I just encourage you to have a conversation now and add in that chat section ways that you are trying to live out this this call to love your neighbor, or perhaps how you have been the recipient of someone else's kindness. Surely God is present in all of these acts. I read an article this week that underscored this presence of God so well. I'm just going to quote it for you, read it for you. This is how Father Fred Penton, a Jesuit priest living in Washington, put it. He asked, "So where is God in the midst of this pandemic?" He's everywhere we look. In the brave healthcare workers who put themselves at risk on behalf of others. In the food service, grocery, and pharmacy workers who may earn low salaries but are still taking on personal risk to keep us nourished and healthy. In the people working night and day to find a vaccine or a cure. God is in the opportunity we have to rethink the way we live, to re-examine our priorities. God is in the extra time some of us have to spend with family and friends, to take a nap, to read a book, to pray. God is in our solidarity with and help for those who are the most vulnerable. And I also want to say a word about Nova Scotia. God is present in the outpouring of support from people around the world. We've seen those on Facebook, on Instagram. God is present in the songs and the tributes and the t-shirts. He's present in the grief counselors who are offering their services for free. God is present in the solidarity and the resilience of the grieving communities. And you and I can participate in loving these neighbors too, these fellow Canadians. We can do that through our prayers. We can love them through financial donations as we are able. We can love them by putting a Nova Scotia Strong sign in our window. I firmly believe that God is calling each one of us to respond to these challenging times, each in our own way. To participate in God's kingdom in by offering whatever little we have. That's the mission that we have been called to. That's what God will use, what little we have. And we can be strong and courageous as we offer these things, because it's doing what God commanded us to do. I'm going to close now by sharing with you one of the ways that I use to remind myself of this promise from God. I like to walk as I pray, or like to pray as I walk. And as I walk, I pray this prayer. It's a personal adaptation of the prayer of St. Patrick. A prayer that perhaps you are familiar with, and this is what I use anyway. Christ before me, leading me into paths of righteousness. Christ behind me, he's got my back. Christ to my right, my friend, my companion. Christ to my left, my protector, my guide. Christ above me, Lord over all. Seeing my beginning from my end and every step that I take. Christ beneath me, keeping me firm, grounded, secure, and stable. Christ all around, The earth is his and everything in it. Christ within me, filling me with this Holy Spirit, growing in me the fruit of the Spirit, transforming me into his likeness.